You're listening to KUOW Seattle. Last month, Washington Governor Jay Inslee wrote a stern note to British Columbia Premier Christy Clark about sewage treatment. He wrote, "It is now more than 20 years since your province agreed to implement wastewater treatment in Greater Victoria, and yet today, Victoria still lacks any treatment beyond screening," end quote. On the Washington side of the Strait of Juan de Fuca, sewage goes through two phases of treatment before it's released into the water. Now, this blame game and long-simmering sewage debate may have finally moved forward. The British Columbia Premier says that Greater Victoria will, after 20 years, finally install a sewage treatment plant or face some steep fines. But now, not all Victorians are on board with this. Joining us to talk about it, Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer, as he does each week to talk about this story and news from Canada. I like to think of this story, Vaughn, as a golden oldie because it's been going on for so long.
Never-ending story. I've been talking about this with listeners on KUOW since I started doing KUOW in 1987, and I assure everyone we're still working on the problem. We're going to deal with it one of these days. Our premier is suggesting in this letter, it took her a month to write back to the governor, but she is saying that the letter released this week, treatment is at hand. Well, we'll see.
Why do some in Victoria still think it's a waste of money to do secondary sewage treatment? Because it does cost a lot.
Yeah, I know it is. And look, there's many chapters to this story. The current problem is the funding was in place. The site was chosen. Construction was going to begin. And then the local government in the community of Esquimalt, where the sewage treatment plant was going to be located, refused to rezone the land, and that stopped the project dead in its tracks. And the issue out there is, how do you get it back on the rails? Well, Premier Clark's letter to the governor is, look, this is not negotiable any longer, and there are two kinds of pressure being applied on the regional government in and around the capital, so Esquimalt and everywhere else around here. And the pressure is twofold. First of all, is that the cost-sharing agreements, the funding from the national government and the funding from the provincial government, which is going to cover two-thirds of the cost of building this thing, is time-dated. Those commitments will run out if they don't start building them. But what won't run out is the threat to start fining the region if it doesn't treat its sewage. So the premier thinks, she says in her letter, it's a plausible argument, that those two sources of pressure will force the region to get going on it. Trouble is, the region can't really figure out how to bring Esquimalt, the holdout municipality, around. They've tried all sorts of things. They've written a letter. I love this one. They wrote a letter to all of the property taxpayers in Esquimalt, offering them a break on their property taxes if they'll just put pressure on their local council to reverse its decision and approve the sewage treatment plant. The mayor of Esquimalt says that's disgusting, right? He says, terrible, shocking, blackmail, intimidation. So, you know, the battle lines are drawn, the threats are implicit, everything's hanging there in the air, but I, from where I sit today, I still don't see the agreement that will let the sewage treatment plant go ahead, so stay tuned.
Vaughn, is this a political dispute at this point? On the scientific front, does everyone agree that this sewage treatment plant should be built in Victoria?
No, and that's, you know, your question is right on. That's the problem. There are a lot of people in and around Victoria who still don't believe that the treatment is necessary, and they're kind of free-riding in the wake on this thing. They're kind of hoping that Esquimalt holds out because the plant won't get built and we won't have the extra bill on our taxes. But practically, that's not a very realistic strategy. I mean, part of it is that the senior governments are serious. They'll walk away from their financial commitments. They're also serious about the fines, I think. And the third thing that's on hold is, what is Washington State going to do about this? You rightly described the governor's letter as having, you know, a certain amount of frustration and impatience in there, but I think at the back of one's mind ought to be, this is a tourist community. British Columbia's agreement to treat its the sewage in the Victoria capital is a result of a deal struck a generation ago by the Premier of British Columbia and the then Governor of Washington State, Mike Lowry. And the deal was that the state would back off a threat of a tourism boycott in exchange for us agreeing to treat our sewage. So, you know, I look at it from writing about this and reporting on this issue for years and say that if Victoria doesn't keep that agreement, sooner or later, someone, I think, is going to be organizing a tourism boycott in Washington State.
Vaughn, speaking of water, I'm talking to Vaughn Palmer, our Canadian correspondent. The Vancouver Aquarium's in hot water, I understand, for continuing to keep some whales and dolphins in captivity. What's the controversy here?
Very lively meetings of Vancouver's Park Board. So the Park Board in Vancouver, which manages the aquarium in Stanley Park and one of the biggest tourist attractions in British Columbia, is elected. And this is election year in Vancouver, and the Park Board is dealing with an increasingly agitated public on this issue. And essentially the pressure is on for them to stop keeping cetaceans in captivity. So the Vancouver Aquarium has what? Two Pacific Whiteside dolphins, two harbor porpoises, and two beluga whales. And it also has seven others on loan to two U.S. aquariums as part of a breeding program. Well, the pressure is on the Park Board to basically phase them all out. This is a pretty agitated subject. There have been two public meetings on it. I think a third one is going to be held, and then the Park Board's going to make a decision. And as I said, there's a lot of public pressure on them on both sides. One side saying keeping them in captivity is wrong. The other side saying, look, folks, there's a scientific benefit, which is always argument made with zoos and aquariums. And the other argument, this is a major tourism attraction.
Finally, Vaughn, we've only got about a minute left, but I was interested to see that British Columbia Premier Christy Clark has taken a stand on what's going on in the Gaza Strip, where Israeli forces are attacking and rockets are coming from the Gaza Strip into Israel. What is she saying about it? And are many Canadian leaders taking a position on this conflict?
Very rare for a Canadian provincial premier to take a stand essentially on a foreign policy issue. On trade, you'll hear them speak out. Very rare. But in this case, Christy Clark has written an open letter to the Jewish community in Vancouver and essentially standing on the side of Israel, recognizing the need for a ceasefire there, but saying, quote, Israel has the right to defend itself and its citizens against terrorist attacks. That's a pretty strong statement for a provincial leader. In fact, it's rare, as I say, for provincial leaders to take any position on foreign policy.
Well, we'll see whether that stirs controversy. Vaughn Palmer, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. You can hear him each Wednesday with news from Canada on The Record.